Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take hold of my words and transform them, that what we may hear will be your word to us. Father, take hold of our minds and change them, that we may be ready to receive from you. Take hold of our lives. May we live in obedience to your will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Hark the glad sound, the Saviour comes. Advent carol proclaims it boldly, but leaves us asking, what sort of Saviour? What does he save from and for? Back in first century Palestine, everyone seemed to have their own idea about what sort of Saviour they wanted. Groups like Zealots and Sicarii looked for a revolutionary leader who'd maybe go around assassinating politicians and leading a mass uprising against their Roman overlords. Groups, on the other hand, like the Essenes, sought salvation by withdrawing from the world, having nothing to do with either politics or the rest of everyday life. They set up communities, famously in Qumran, and seek holiness and spiritual purity, unpolluted by the world. John the Baptist, whom we hear of today, seems to have had his own ideas about the Saviour as well. And that seems to have been fueled by a mixture of the two. He got the fire of the Zealots, but directed like the Essenes towards moral purity, although without withdrawal from the world. When you look at his preaching, it's full of talk of fire and of threshing floors and of separation of sheep and goats, or of wheat and chaff. So when he saw or heard what Jesus was doing, he was confused. He thought he'd spotted in Jesus the Saviour they were waiting for. And yet Jesus is behaving very differently from he'd expected. Was he right, or should he seek another? Jesus, in reply, asks, what do you actually see? What's going on the ground? Open your eyes and look. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor hear good news. Those are the facts. Now, how do you interpret them? Don't you recognize that these are exactly the same things as the prophets long ago said would happen? This would be the sort of salvation they're talking about. Salvation isn't about wiping out enemies or indeed annihilating sin. Salvation is renewal of life. It's breaking down barriers. It's ending isolation. It's replacing the things that diminish, that repress, that crush, that control. Elsewhere, Jesus put it more succinctly, I have come that you may have life, and life in all its fullness. That's the sort of Saviour Jesus is. Now, as I was looking at that, it did strike me that the church historically has rather preferred John the Baptist's view of Jesus and his salvation, rather than perhaps what Jesus was saying. For well over 1,000 years, judgment and being saved from eternal judgment have dominated the message. This was a medieval church. You'd probably have a great frieze depicting the torments of hell, or the people being dragged down into it, both in front of above the door as you come in, and over the chancel arch. And then you'd have a huge crucifix with Jesus on the cross, and very visual depiction of how you avoided that one and came to heaven instead. The Reformation, of course, removed the pictures, but was still very much based around the same theme. How did you get hold of this salvation? Was it by faith rather than by works? But it very much is still about accessing salvation and avoiding damnation. Just the argument's got more fierce. So it's really, really important, given that history, that we look at what the Bible actually says and doesn't say. And in today's gospel, Jesus, quite clearly and specifically referring to Isaiah and including chapter 35, as we heard earlier, but misses things out. And specifically here, he crops out verse 4, where he says about God will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. Now, that might be a coincidence, except he does exactly the same thing in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, where he's quoting Isaiah 61, but stops right before the prophet announces the day of vengeance of our God. Twice, I think, means this is no coincidence. Now, I am not saying that Jesus never spoke about judgment. Far too many of his parables end with wailing or weeping and gnashing of teeth for us to take that sort of comfort. But the focus of his ministry is very clearly not about pronouncing the sort of judgment that John had anticipated. Here in his manifesto passages, in both Matthew and in Luke, it is plain that judgment and vengeance are not the purpose of his mission. Now, that leaves us as a church with a bit of a problem. We've had this very clear message for a thousand years at least. How do we put it across quite so clearly, this offer of life, which to me seems to be very much what Jesus is about? Well, I want to suggest that we could look back, or do a lot worse at least, than looking back to Isaiah and doing as Jesus did, picking up on his words and seeing the positive messages. And we actually see there are a whole series of them running through the passage, perhaps poetic, perhaps literal in places. But just we see, it starts off with a picture of the renewal of creation, the wilderness rejoicing and blossoming. And then he goes on to the beauty, Carmel, Sharon, Lebanon. These are the beauty spots of the Middle East, the places of wonder and awe and delight. This is the splendor of God being seen. And then the things that we might relate to, or many of us might relate to, the feeble hands and the knees that quake, but being strengthened and renewed. That's what he's coming to do. And then the following up with the words I've already quoted about eyes of the blind being opened and so on. The healing that comes with it. Returning to the environmental issues, if you like. And then finally to the highway of our God. A journey, a procession of people, a journey to the point of praise and wonder and joy. These are the things that he's pointed to. These are the visions he gives of full life. And I believe what, as we read through the Gospels and the putting it all together, what we find ourselves called to is to be the church that will embody all of this. For we are called to be the body of Christ. Jesus came as the Savior who would bring these things in and left us to be his body on earth, body empowered and inspired through what we do at the Eucharist, the receiving of bread and wine, so we become part of him, are he part of us? Received in faith. So the call so the world should receive salvation is through seeing, hearing, engaging with a church which embodies Christ, who does all that the prophets were saying. So that, well, maybe we start with the things we're familiar with, those feeble hands and quaking knees. We're here to strengthen one another, and we do that. We recognize that God gives us that something extra that strengthens us, and that something extra is very often given through one another. So we do that offering prayer and practical support, companionship and a listening ear, worked out in church through the pastoral team, through the place of welcome, and various other ways. In those are the vision of salvation. And the words about the healing of the blind, deaf, and so on. Miracles that in Jesus' life touched body and soul and reincorporated within the community of faith. Today, medicine is highly technical and specific and high degrees of training. The church as an institutional body isn't equipped to do that, but individuals are called into those healing ministries, and we want to affirm those. There are also spiritual healings, again, which are to be affirmed and worked out, specific ministries. But as the body meeting, what we can do, I think, is see that social side, that the conditions Jesus spoke about were ones that excluded. So our working together can be to include. So practically we use it through hearing loops, large print service sheets, accessible entrances, all that side of things. And of course we've committed to becoming a church friendly to those with dementia. We follow Jesus, the barrier breaker, and we truly learn to value each person for their own uniqueness. And in that is a vision of salvation. We talked earlier this year about the creation and our role in caring for creation. The church is to embody God's caring for his creation. Very important issue facing the country, facing the world at this time. Aim is that we should be setting a lead on these things, not sort of dragging our feet behind the rest of society. So we have committed to working towards becoming what's recognized as an eco-church, making our footprint lighter on God's world. And then the things of beauty as well. Carmel and Sharon and Lebanon that the prophet refers to. Well, we appreciate the beauty of creation and we enjoy human creativity and artistry and the beauty that we can produce. And we may see it physically in church through the work of flower arrangers or through the music and the concerts. Got this splendid frieze at the moment that children have made, and the things at the back, which are, again, are a delight. And the care that's put into caring for the fabric that we have. Beauty is transformative, and as such, can be part of the salvation that God brings. And that highway, the remembrance that when we are called on a journey, we're none of us have made anything, have become perfect. And certainly as a body, we're not perfect, but we are working and traveling with Jesus on the highway of righteousness. And with that hope set in our hearts of the New Jerusalem, the place of true worship and true fellowship and true unity with God. We see what we long for in the world to come. We travel with that hope in our hearts that tells us we're not being just filled with negative images or negativity, but we are journeying into life through Jesus Christ. What sort of Saviour? Well, one who leaves out of this death-like world, which is corrosive with hatred and cynicism and apathy and division and sheer exhaustion, to one of truly abundant life, truly alive life, life in all its fullness. It takes multiple visions actually to catch something of what God is doing in these ways. But when put together, it amounts to a whole different way of being human. That's what we long for. That's the salvation that Christ brings. And that's what we are called to embody in the world. Amen.